Absolutely not. But it's a great tool. It's a great tool. That's what we're talking about tonight, about equipping with the tools that we need. You don't have to go to the couples retreat, but it's a great tool. It's a great help. It's a great time of encouragement. Dr. Johnny Pope preached many times when I was a student at Pensacola Christian College. And one message he preached during Bible conference, I'll never forget it. He preached from Proverbs chapter number 20, verses 5 and 6. And this isn't our message tonight, but just the Lord brought it to my mind. The Bible says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And then verse 6, he said, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? And he preached that message. It would have been in the early 1990s, but it would have been in the midst of some turmoil in our nation with our current president at that time. And he preached a message about, and it was to everybody, but it was a Bible conference message, and he preached it primarily to the young men there, and he preached on the matter of integrity. And I'll never forget that message. I can't remember every single detail, every single point, but I'll never forget the fact and how boldly he preached on the matter of integrity and for all those young men at that college to be men of integrity. And so thankful. I know they heard some good preaching this week, no doubt about it, and so thankful for their opportunity to go. Acts chapter number 20 is where we're going to begin tonight. Acts chapter number 20. Ecclesiastes 10:10. I just want to read it real quickly. You don't have to turn there. Our theme verse this year, the Bible says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 20, the Bible says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. We've referenced Acts 20 many, many times. It is the Apostle Paul taking one more opportunity to be able to meet with the Ephesian elders, some of the Christians from the church at Ephesus, and he is recounting and rehearsing the time that he had with them. And he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. That word equip that we're going to talk about tonight, it simply means to furnish for service. It means to outfit. It means to furnish for service, to outfit. Ladies, when you're getting ready for a special occasion, you want a new outfit. Men, when they go hunting, Brother Benny and I were talking, maybe it was last Sunday, maybe it was Wednesday night, but he was reminiscing and joking a little bit about all the money that he used to spend on hunting equipment to go deer hunting. And would hardly ever get a deer, but even if he got it, he didn't really like deer meat. And just all the money that he spent to outfit himself to go hunting. Equip carries the idea of outfitting, of furnishing for service. And I want to look at a few of those things tonight about equipping or being equipped with the tools that we need for the Christian life. I had you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 as well. And I'd like to read the passage. You know these verses. And then I'd like to read a passage in chapter 4 as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly, what's the next word? Furnished. Furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Isn't that where we want to get to? Yeah, absolutely. Isn't 2 Timothy 4 verses 6 through 8, isn't that our desired end? To end exactly the way the Apostle Paul ended? The Apostle Paul is getting ready to leave the scene. He knows he's getting ready to lose his life. He says that in verse number 6. He said, I am now ready to be offered. I'm ready to give my life as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure, I'm leaving this earth. It's at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. How do we get there? By being equipped with the tools that we need. And that's one of the purposes of the church, is to enlarge the saint. It's to encourage the saint so that the saint can end the same way the Apostle Paul did. You think the Apostle Paul got to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 all by himself? Absolutely not. He got there because of some fellow believers. He got there because of some other Christians, as we even saw last Sunday night, some fellow Christians who gathered around him and prayed for him. And when he was gone on his missionary journeys, they lifted up him up in prayer. He got there the same way we get there, by people who encourage us and help us to stay in the battle. He was encouraged. He was edified. And he was equipped with the tools that he needed to live the Christian life. And that's what we want to look at tonight. I've got a couple toolboxes here. These are not the toolboxes that I keep at home. And I say that because all the men in here tonight will make fun of me if they think this is my toolbox. Seriously, this is just a toolbox we keep, that we keep here at the church. Actually, two toolboxes that we keep here at the church. One of them is a halfway man's toolbox. It has a hammer, a little rinky-dink hammer, by the way, but it'll do the job. By the way, do you need a hammer to nail something? Nah, you don't have to. This will hammer, tape measure. A good leather sole shoe will hammer. But out of the two of these, which does the best job? Yeah, this one right here does. Got a can of WD-40. Multi-use product. By the way, I got an email from, I'm not going to tell you who it's from, but I got an email this week, and it told me about 200 different ways you can use WD-40 for the end times and for the preppers and all those. WD-40 is good. Are you prepping? You need WD-40. I'm just kidding, y'all. Y'all looking at me funny. Although I am serious about the email. I did get an email about 200 different ways you can use WD-40, but listen to what it says. It says, stops squeaks, removes and protects, loosens rusted parts. We need that in our homes, don't we? Frees sticky mechanisms, drives out moisture, WD-40. I've got a screwdriver. I have some other things in here. But then I have a second toolbox that we keep here at the church. It's not mine. It's kind of like a craft toolbox. It's a she box. That's what it is. It has push pins, and it has straight pins, and it has, now I could use that. It has fishing line, but we don't use it for fishing. We use it for decorations, and underneath in the bottom there's some colored chalk, and there's a whole lot of 3M strips. It's a ladies' toolbox here, so I keep both of them in my office because we need both. But in both of those are tools that help us to do some of the things that we need to do around the church. You have, men have, our neighbor, I was talking to our neighbor over here yesterday, and I told him, I said, man, listen, if you need anything, I've got a teenage son, I've got a 20-year-old son, you ever need anything, let me know. And he was like, man, I wish I had known that yesterday. He said, me, and he pointed to the guy that was there with him. I guess it was his friend. He said, we moved a toolbox yesterday that weighs more than both of these trucks sitting here. I said, man, y'all got hernias today? Are y'all okay? And he showed me in the trailer. He's got a car trailer over there, and they had loaded it in that car trailer, and it went through the bottom of that trailer. That's a trailer that carries cars. That's how heavy that toolbox was. That's a man's toolbox, amen? look, and in that toolbox is what he is. He's a diesel mechanic, and he builds diesel motors and different things. And in that toolbox is what he needs to do his work. And God has given us, and primarily, we can really break it down tonight, and the outline is very simple tonight, but we can really break it down. Everything that we need tonight is found right here. This is our toolbox, and all the tools that we need are found inside to live the Christian life. Now, we said it just a moment ago. Are there other tools that we can use? Absolutely. I think we have... I'm good. We have. Look, I gave some of these out, and I gave these to our teenagers back a few months ago. Do the teenagers have to have these devotionals to be a good teenager, to live a good Christian life? They don't have to. They can just read their Bible. This is just a tool. This is a tool. This is a every day, once a day, a daily reminder, a daily devotion, something that's going to victory over the world. It's just something every single day, and they're going to read the Word of God. They're going to read 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. They're going to read this devotion about victory over the world, and this is just a tool to help them. We give out daily Bible reading schedules. Do you have to have one of those to read your Bible every year? No. You don't have to have those. You can just take the Word of God and just begin at Genesis and just go through it out the year. But those are tools that we put, or we try to put, into the hands of individuals. I was out yesterday and went to visit an individual that hadn't been to church in quite some time, and went into the house. And by the way, he didn't know I was coming. He had no idea I was coming. I haven't seen him in a year. And I went inside, and on their side table was the daily devotional that we gave out from the Bill Rice Ranch, Brother Will Rice. I don't know if he's been reading it, but it was sitting there on his side table in his living room, and I haven't seen him in a year. Just a tool. And every single one of us tonight need tools to help us to daily live the Christian life. And so let's look tonight, and we're going to be quick. I have three truths I want to give you tonight, and it'll be a help to us. Let's pray and ask God to help. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. And Father, we acknowledge tonight and we understand, Father, that we need to be equipped. We need to be furnished. We need to be outfitted with the proper tools in order to live this Christian life successfully. In order to come to the end of our lives like the Apostle Paul, and to be able to say, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And Father, I believe that that would be the desire, that would be the prayer of every single Christian in here tonight. I have no doubt every single Christian would love to be able to make that statement at the end of their lives. And Father, I pray that we will take heed, that we would be sharpened in our purpose. Father, I pray that we would be sharpened in our purpose as a church, so that we would help to enlarge the saints, so that we would help them grow and to be built up and encourage them and edify them and equip them with the tools that they need, so that at the end of their lives, they can make that statement. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Please teach us tonight. Father, be with those that couldn't be here tonight, whether it be because of weather or sickness or whatever the case would be. Father, we pray that you'd put your hand of blessing upon them even right now. Father, we pray once again. I ask that you'd help as we are on the threshold of our mission conference next week. And Lord, I pray that you'd do a great work in our hearts. Father, I pray that next week would edify us. It would build us. It would encourage us. It would grow us. It would strengthen us, Lord. Father, we love you tonight. Teach us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, as we're thinking about this matter of equipping, first of all, we need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe. We need to be equipped tonight with the tools to fight the foe. And I'm going to take you to a passage, and maybe you'll guess it before we even get there. But I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. We need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe. And by the way, as a church, and as we talk about sharpening our purpose, we need to equip each other with the tools to fight the foe. We need to teach. We need to encourage, we need to example, whatever the case would be, so that we can help and we can equip, we can outfit, we can furnish each other with the tools to fight the foe. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10, we're not going to spend a ton of time on all these tonight, but there are many tools listed in this passage tonight in verses 10 all the way down through verse number 20. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." What are the tools, or at least one of the tools that are mentioned here? It's the armor. Now, there are many different pieces to that armor, but one of the tools that we need to be equipped with to fight the foe is the armor of Almighty God. Look, every morning when we get up, we need to strap on the armor of God, the tools, the outfit, if you will, that's going to help us to fight the foe. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Wherefore, because of that, because of who we're fighting against, who we're wrestling against in verse number 12, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let me ask us tonight, have we done all to stand? Have we done every single thing we possibly can to stand? Have we done all to stand against the wiles of the devil? That's what he's talking about here. Standing against the wiles of the devil, verse number 11 says. "Stand therefore," verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Spoke about that this morning. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." What's one of the tools that you need, that I need to fight the foe? It's the shield of faith. The Bible says to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We preached a series of messages. I looked back even today. It was 5 or 6 years ago. We preached a series of messages from Ephesians chapter 6 entitled, "Battle Ready." Battle Ready. Are you battle ready tonight? Do you get up each morning and put on, as the Bible says in verse number 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth"? Putting that truth every single day and filtering everything that comes into your life every single day through truth, because it's truth, as we saw this morning, that's going to edify us, that's going to grow us, that's going to build us. Verse number 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We've mentioned this a number of times recently. Prepared every day to go out and to give the gospel. Prepared every day with tracts in our pockets, tracts in our purses, ready to go out and give the gospel of peace. Above all, he says in verse number 16, by the way, verse 15, I think he speaks about the feet, because that's what takes us to those that need Christ. What did we see in Acts chapter number 3 when we talked about evangelizing the sinner? The very simple thing, first thing we saw was they went. They went to where the need was. They went to where the people were, the people who had needs. They had financial needs, they had physical needs. Most importantly, they had spiritual needs. They went to the people that had needs. They went to where they're at. And that's what verse 15, "Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking that shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The sword of the Spirit. You see, we need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe. And one of those tools, we would call it a weapon, is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. That's why we need to know it. That's why we need to read it. That's why we need to be familiar with it. That's why we need to be familiar with its passages. And I understand the day in which we live, we can get on our phones and we can find a passage quickly. I do that. got a program on my computer where I can plug in a word that's found in the King James Bible, and man, it'll bring up every word, that word that's found in the King James Bible. So if I can't remember the verse and I know a couple of words that are in that verse, I put those couple of words in and I'll find the verse. But you know what? Even more than that, we ought to be familiar enough with the Word of God to say, you know what? I have an idea of where that passage is. I'm familiar enough with the Word of God. I know that's in this book, and I may not know the chapter and the verse, but I know it's here. I know it's in the New Testament. I know it's in this book, or I know it's in the Old Testament. I know it's either in Psalms or Proverbs. We need to be familiar with the sword of the Spirit, the soldier polishes, sharpens, exercises, practices with that sword constantly. He knows how to wield the sword. We need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe. Our children need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe. Well, they need it. By the way, we talk about our kids need it. We need it. We have to have it first before we can give it to them. We have to know what the Bible says first before we can ever give it to them. Equipped with the tools to fight the foe. Verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Number one tonight, we need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe. We need to be equipped, and we need to be equipping others. We need to be furnishing. We need to be outfitting others with the tools to fight the foe, because the foe is always going to fight. He's always going to fight. He's always going to come back. You may win today. He's going to come back tomorrow. You may win tomorrow. He'll be back Tuesday. You may win Tuesday. He'll be back Wednesday. And he might not win Wednesday. And that's where you got to pick yourself back up and go back and battle again on Thursday. And we need the tools to fight the foe every single day. Because there's temptations. There's temptations that come into our lives. The world, the flesh, and the devil would love nothing more than to destroy your Christian life, to get you downhearted, to get you depressed in your Christian life. We need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe. Listen, why do we want to take young people to youth conferences and hear and allow them to hear other people preaching? Because it's a tool. Is it just because we want to take them somewhere, and just because we want to use gas in the van, and just because we want to spend money? No, no, no. It's a tool. It's to take them to let them hear somebody else preach. By the way, so that they can hear, hey, there are a lot of other people that believe the same thing we believe. There are a lot of other preachers. There's a lot of other churches that believe the truth of the Bible just the way we do. That's why we do it. It's a tool. It's equipping them. Not only is it a tool, but it's equipping them with the tools that they need to fight the foe. Number two. Number one, equipped with the tools to fight the foe. But secondly, we need to be equipped with the tools to labor for the Lord. We need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe. But secondly, we need to be equipped with the tools to labor for the Lord. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, what did the Apostle Paul say? He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe. We need to be equipped with the tools to labor for the Lord. By the way, that's every single day, just like fighting the foe is every single day. And by the way, fighting the foe is part of the labor. Fighting the foe is part of the work. Part of the work is fighting the foe. It all works together. But preparing for a Sunday school lesson, that's labor. Preparing for specials in the choir, that's labor. And we need to be equipped with the tools to labor for the Lord. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. This is a verse that we looked at just this past year in our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter number 1 and verse number 3. Equipped with the tools to labor for the Lord. And by the way, we're talking about sharpened. By the way, that's why we look, if we want our choir to do its absolute best, that's why we buy music for the choir. That's why our individuals who sing specials, that's why they practice. Hey, look, I've been in church services before where the pastor says, hey, hey, brother so-and-so, why don't you come sing us something tonight? By the way, I'm not against that, but brother so-and-so hasn't practiced. And brother so-and-so isn't ready to come and sing. And he hasn't been sharpened. And he's not ready to do his best. And he hasn't been given the tools to do his best. He hasn't been given the tools to labor for the Lord. That's why we do those things. That's why they practice. That's why we purchase music. That's why the pianist, however you say the word, that's why they practice and take music home and practice. Just about, as far as I know, just about every one of the individuals that play on these pianos, they take music to their own homes and practice. Why? Because they are equipping themselves with the tools to labor for the Lord. They're equipping themselves to do their absolute very best. To give God and God only all the glory for what's done. Let me say this, there is no glory in doing anything half-hearted for God. There is no glory in that. We ought to do everything we do for God with a whole heart. Whether it's preaching, whether it's singing, whether it's teaching, whether it's cleaning a bathroom, whether it's working in Master Club, whether it's praying for each other. Well, to do everything we do, not half-heartedly, not, well, God will be okay with it. No, no, no. We ought to give Him everything equipped with the tools to labor for the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3. And I think in verse number 3 we find three of the greatest tools that we need to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of what? Faith. Labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now again, this isn't exhaustive, but we find right here in one verse, in verse number 3, we find three tools that we need in order to labor, in order to do the work that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's faith, and it's hope, and it's love. Isn't that interesting? Faith, hope, and love. Why do we do what we do? Why do we labor for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because of faith. Because of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. When it talks about the fact that our labor is not in what? It's not in vain. There is going to be a resurrection. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. And because there is going to be a resurrection, He says your labor is not in vain. Do you have faith in that tonight? One of the greatest tools, one of the greatest elements, one of the greatest supports for the child of God in him doing what he is doing for Christ is the fact that there's going to be a day when my labor is going to be rewarded. Faith. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now again, please don't forget the Thessalonians were going through great persecution. And he says, you're working by faith. What do I need? I need faith. Labor of love, love. Why do we labor for the Lord? Because the love of Christ constraineth us. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15, he said, I will very gladly spend and be spent. You know this verse? I will very gladly spend and be spent, though the more I love thee, the less I be loved. Why do you labor? Because of love. Because of the love that Christ had for us, and because of the love that Christ had for us, we demonstrate that to others. The Bible says that we don't love Him. It says that we love Him because He first loved us. Okay, so Christ loved us first, and because of that love, and because of the salvation that we have through the shed blood of Christ, and because of the love that was demonstrated to us, the Bible says that that love constrains us to serve Him. Look, I don't serve in order to get anything. I serve because of what God has already done for me. I don't serve in order to get salvation. I don't serve because it's going to gain me some merit with God. I serve because of what He's done for me. That's what the Bible's saying here. He said, and your labor of love. That's one of the great tools that equips us to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the love of Christ. that little boy, that little girl that is unlovable is the same little boy and same little girl that you were one day, and you were very unlovable. But God still loved us. And that little boy and that little girl, or that family, that husband and wife, that their marriage is getting ready to break up and bust up, they need someone to come along and show them the love of Christ. They need someone to come along and show them, hey, this can be better. And the love of Christ allows it to be better. You see, we need to be equipped with the tools to labor for the Lord. What's the third tool that he gives us in verse number 3? Patience of hope. Kind of goes along with what we said with the faith. We have hope that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And by the way, it's not the fleshly type of hope. It's a confident hope. It's a assured hope that he's coming back. Because see, here's the thing. If we labor for any other reason other than faith, love, and hope, something will come along that'll make us quit. Mark it down. If you're laboring for somebody else's approval, one of these days, that approval will be gone and you'll quit. If I labor for somebody's approval, when that approval goes away, I'll begin to question, I'll begin to wonder, and somewhere along the line, I'll quit. But if I labor because of faith, hope, and love, we'll just stay at it. Faith, trust. God, I know this is what you want me to do. I don't care the circumstances. I don't care what anybody says. I know this is what you want me to do. That's faith. Love. Lord, I'm going to love these people because that's what you want me to do. Lord, I'm going to love my neighbor even though they're not very lovely because that's what you did to me. Remember what Brother Steve said about we love our spouses unconditionally? What did we do to make God love us? Was that the kind of sort of the quote? We didn't do anything. We're wretched, wicked sinners. God loved us in spite of ourselves. That's the same with our neighbors. Well, man alive, my neighbor, he's, woo, you ought to meet my neighbor. Listen, God's already met me. And he still loved me. And that's the love that we demonstrate and manifest to others. By the way, again, I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about overlooking sin. But I am talking about loving people and helping them, demonstrating the love of Christ. Hope. And he says specifically, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, patiently enduring the persecution that they were enduring because of the blessed hope that was before them. Number one, equipped with the tools to fight the foe. Number two, equipped with the tools to labor for the Lord. And then thirdly, equipped with the tools to complete the course. To complete the course. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. We need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe, to labor for the Lord, and then thirdly, to complete our course. I had you in Acts 20 just a moment ago. Would you turn back there real quickly, and then we're going to go to the book of Proverbs and we'll be done tonight. Acts chapter number 20. What do you need tonight when you're taking a trip? You need directions. You need a GPS. You need a map. If you're driving in the night, what do you need? You need light. And God Almighty has given us every one of those to complete our course. He's given us the tools that we need. We just need to partake. We need to equip each other with those tools. Verse number 17 of Acts 20, the Bible says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And then notice verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what? Joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What was the ministry that Paul had received? To testify, to witness, to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And he said, look, I'm going to Jerusalem. I have no idea what's going to happen there. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. It is the Spirit that has bound me, that has constrained me to go to Jerusalem. He said, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. The Holy Spirit's already told me that everywhere I go, there's going to be bonds and afflictions. But none of these things move me. You know what we need to be equipped with to complete our course? Many, many things. We need the Word of God, and we're going to go to the book of Proverbs in just a moment and finish up. We need the light. We need the direction. We need the way. But listen, we just need the fortitude to say, you know what? Nothing's going to move me. We just need to make a decision in our minds and a commitment to say, you know what? I don't care what comes. Nothing is going to move me away from completing my course. From finishing my course. And by the way, not just finishing, but finishing with joy. Finishing with joy. With happiness. And the Apostle Paul, look, could the Apostle Paul have quit? Many times. Many times the Apostle Paul could have hung it up and said, I'm going to the house. But he didn't. He said, none of these things move me. And the reason none of those things moved him is because of the next phrase. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That was the key. He says, I do not count my life dear to myself. I'm not selfish. If the Lord takes me out of here tomorrow, I'm fine. None of these things are going to move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself. The Apostle Paul had come to the point in his life that every single one of us ought to come to. He had wholly given himself to God Almighty. Lock, stock, and barrel. Whatever happens, happens. God, if you take me home, take me home. God, if I never get to see the churches again. By the way, at the end of this chapter, in verse number 38, the greatest sorrow that the Ephesians had was that he had told them that they would see his face no more. Verse 38. Father, if I don't ever get to see these Christian believers again, I want to see them. I want to minister to them. I want to help them. But if I don't get to see them again, I just want to finish my course with joy. We need to be equipped with the tools to fight the foe, to labor for the Lord, and to complete our course. And God has given us the tools in His Word. He has given us the armament to fight the foe. He has given us faith, hope, and love to be able to labor for Him. Look, we don't do it for a pat on the back. And you've heard it before. We don't do it for them. We do it for Him. Now, I understand, yeah, we do it for them. We love them, and we want to see them get saved. But when I begin to do it for them, that's when the problems come. I don't do it for them, I do it for Him. And He's given me everything in His Word for me to be able to complete my course. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs for real quickly. We're going to read these quickly, and we'll be done tonight. Matter of fact, we referenced this passage recently, maybe it was even last Sunday. Proverbs chapter number 4, equipped with the tools to complete the course. God has charted a course in His Word for us. We just need to obey it. We need to follow it. He's given us a map. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse number 25, He said, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Then would you go to Proverbs 22? We use this passage many times for children, and rightly so. Proverbs 22, verse number 1, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished by humility. You see, in chapter 22, what God does is chart a course for us. He charts a course for our children, absolutely. But He charts a course for all of us. It's a course of humility. It's a course of integrity. It's a course of verity. It's a course of many different truths. And we're not going to read all of Proverbs chapter 22 tonight. But He says in verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. And then verse 6, the verse that we know. Train up a child in the what? The way. Equipped with the tools to complete the course. God has given us a way. He's given us a way where every single one of us can end our course the same way the Apostle Paul did. But I'm not the Apostle Paul. Yeah, you're not. But you're a child of God. You have the same Holy Spirit living inside of you. And we can finish our course. We can fight our fight. We can keep the faith the same way the Apostle Paul did, because we're serving the same God. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse 8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall see. And by the way, I'm not going to read all this. I'd encourage you to read all of chapter 22, because it's a discourse on how to chart a course for life. How to chart a course, a way to be able to end and complete our course the same way the Apostle Paul did. I know it's the Old Testament. I know it's Proverbs. But he charts a course. He said, train up a child in the way he should go. Look at verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. By the way, I'm not lying to you tonight, but would you go one more, please? And I promise we'll be done right here. Chapter 3, Proverbs 3, would you go there real quickly? And we looked at this Wednesday night. Many of you weren't here Wednesday night. Many of you were in Master Club Wednesday night. Proverbs 3, notice verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth what? Wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. Right there tells us how to live a happy life and to complete our course. Oh, I don't see it, Pat. Get wisdom. Where do you get wisdom? The Word of God. What does verse 14 say? For the merchandise of it, of what? Of wisdom. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Sharpening our purpose. What is our purpose? It's to evangelize the sinner. It's to exalt the Savior. It's to enlarge the saint. How do we enlarge the saint? By encouraging them through their trials. By edifying them with the truth. And by equipping them with the tools that they need. I want us all to grow to spiritual maturity. And we need to help each other do that. That's one of our purposes. Our purpose is not, and I'm so thankful, and I say this a lot, but I'm so thankful for our church, because our church is not about cliques. Our church is not about this little group and that little group. Our church is about being here to help each other. And that's how we enlarge each other. We encourage each other. We edify each other. We build up. We make edifices to the glory of God. And we equip each other with the tools that we need to live this Christian life. Tonight, I'd encourage you, if you're not equipping someone, help equip someone. If you're, hey, parent, this is easy. The first place you need to start is right in your home. It's right at home. equipping those babies that you have in your home. Because I'm going to tell you, and there are many people in here tonight who know this to be true, but I'm going to tell you, it goes quickly. Don't waste a moment. Don't waste a moment, friend. Because before you know it, they'll be gone. They'll be married. You don't have any more opportunity to influence. I mean, you do, but you know what I mean tonight. Don't waste a moment to edify, to encourage, and to equip. I've got more, but we need to pray. I don't want to lie to you tonight. Father, help us. I thank you for our church. Lord, I think we do a wonderful job of encouraging each other, of edifying each other with the truth, of equipping each other with tools, and just equipping ourselves. We listen and we outfit ourselves with what we need to live on a daily basis. But Father, there is no doubt that every single one of us could be sharpened in some areas. And Father, if that would be the need tonight, maybe it's a mom and a dad that would just kneel at their pew and say, Lord, help us to equip and edify and encourage our children. Maybe it would be a grandma and a grandpa that would say the same thing. Father, help us to equip and edify and encourage our children, but Lord, also our grandchildren. Father, we want to have a part in that. Lord, help us to do it. I don't know hearts tonight, but Lord, you do. And Lord, I pray if there's just needs, I pray that we would allow the Holy Spirit to work and that we would do business with you tonight, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Chris is going to begin to play. Friend, if you just need to kneel where you're at, if you need to come, maybe you're doing well, and I'm glad if you are. But maybe tonight you'd allow God to take you to His sharpening stone tonight. And just say, hey, Dad, you need to do better about equipping and edifying and encouraging. Allow Him to do it. Hey, moms tonight, grandmothers, just godly ladies in our church, maybe you'd allow the Lord to take you to His sharpening stone tonight, to that whetstone. Just say, dear lady, dear child of mine, you need to do better in this area. You need to be a better encourager. You need to be a better edifier. You need to be a better equipper. You need to exalt your Savior more. You need to be sensitive to souls. And think about the fact that people need the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise Him that you have Him. But understand there are others who need Him. You might be here tonight and in your heart you're thinking, man, Pastor, I've never ever handed out a tract to anyone. Listen, I know it's awkward the first time. I get it. I remember as a teenage boy, the first time I ever handed out a tract, man, I was scared to death. And yeah, it may be a little awkward. But think about the fact that you are placing into the hand of someone who does not know Christ and may have never heard about Christ, you're placing the unsearchable riches of Christ into their hand. You're placing a simple gospel presentation into their hand. They may not read it, I understand it. They may crumple it up and throw it in the trash. I get that. But that doesn't excuse the command that God has given to us. Maybe tonight you would allow the Lord to take you to that sharpening stone and sharpen your courage and your boldness tonight, so that the next time you're out and you have opportunity, He has sharpened you and you're ready. And boy, He's given you the courage and strength and the boldness.